We have Jack Kinley, Pastor Jack, speaking the keynote message, What Must I Do to Be Lost?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to make one announcement that I just want y'all to really be thinking about it and praying about it. Tomorrow night, following the evening service, we're going to have a very special service in memory of Reba Dunn. Now, seriously, I want y'all to be praying about it. And I want you to ask the Lord to just intervene and give us all the comfort and the peace that he can give us in a memorial service. And I want all of you to make sure you're here. Because it's very important. I just want to share this with you. Over the years that I've been with the National Church Conference of the Blind, I don't know of any person that has ever put any more into the National Church Conference of the Blind as Reba Dunn did. I mean, she really did. She put her heart and her soul into the NCCB. And I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to have the opportunity to work with her. And I think all of you can say amen to that.
Amen. I'm a new person here. My name is Dar. And I would like to be one of the folks, if not tonight, tomorrow night, to give a testimony on behalf of the Reba Hyde.
Okay, you can do that. And tomorrow night, any of you that want to say something during the memorial service, we want you to do so. We'll do that tomorrow night. Let me just share a little something with you before we look at God's Word. And I want to share this with you from the very depths of my heart. The theme that I have, or the title of the message for me tonight, is What Must I Do to Be Lost? And I've been thinking about that, been praying about it, and I thought, well, I just need to say, well, you don't have to do anything to be lost, so let's go home. Well, that's about true, isn't it? And it made me think about something that I want to share with you about my life. I came up as a youngster out of a divorced family. And at 7 years of age, I had to go and live with my alcoholic father. And from the time I was 7 years old until I was 16 and lied about my age and went into the military, I had to pretty well do things for myself. And, you know, I didn't even think that there was a God that existed. I really didn't. Because I thought, if there was really a God that existed, why has he let me go through all of this? And from the time I was 7 years old, I had to pretty well do things for myself if I wanted something extra. I lived in a boarding house a good portion of that time. And I don't know whether any of you have ever lived in a boarding house or not, but it's not a good place for a kid to live. But I had food to eat, thanks to Mrs. Armstrong, who run the boarding house. My dad did take care of the meals and paid the rent for us to be there. But you know, I by the time I was probably 12 years old, I believe I was probably grown as far as being mature, because I had done so many things that I shouldn't have had to do at that age. And I thought, what is the sense in me? And I heard people talk about the Lord. When I went for a little while and stayed with my grandmother and grandfather, they took me to the Presbyterian church, but I didn't pay any attention to what was going on. But it was a rough life. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. But I just did not think there was a God anywhere that wanted to have anything to do with me. I was lost. And you know something? During those years, I look back on it now, and I haven't looked back on it for several years, but during those years, I saw people, some of the people that I want to describe to you tonight. And to me, they were as lost as I was. I mean, they really were. And when I think about that, I think about what must I do to be lost? And when I was a kid, I just could go on doing what I was doing and I would be lost. I didn't honor God. I didn't honor the Lord. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't pray. I just did what Jack wanted to do. And nobody kept me from doing that. And when I was probably 10 years old, or 8 to 10 years old, I'd get up at 4:30 in the morning and go out and sell newspapers on the streetcars in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, until about 8:30, and then I'd go to school. And when school was over, I'd come back to the streetcar connection area, pick up some newspapers and sell newspapers until about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And then I'd go to a bowling alley and set tens till about 9. And I fussed at the man who owned the bowling alley because he wouldn't let me work after 9 o'clock. He wasn't allowed to. But I'd fussed at him. I said, I'll work anyway. But he wouldn't let me do it. So I got a chance to go home and do my homework, and I did it. It was a rough life. But you know something? When I look back upon it, I think the worst part of it was I was lost. And if I had died, I would have went to an eternal and everlasting and permanent hell. And I'd have lived with Satan for an eternity. And you know, that's all anybody has to do to be lost, is just not give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's all you must do. Don't give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Now let me cite something to you. I wrote this down because I didn't want to miss any of it. Some of the things that I saw as a kid coming up. And I want you to think about these things, because in the day and time that we live in, you need to think about these things. What must I do to be saved? And I thought about this a lot in my life. What must I do to be saved? I mean, to be lost. I can honor God. I can read the Bible. I can study the Bible. I can say I love the Bible, but I can still be lost. And when, as a kid coming up, I met a lot of people who said they honored God. In fact, I sold newspapers to them on Sunday mornings while they were under Sunday school. They said they honored God. They said they read the Word. They said they studied the Word. They said they loved the Bible, but yet I'd see some of those same people on Saturday night out carousing all over the streets of Pittsburgh. They were lost. They hadn't given their lives to Jesus Christ. Then during those years, I heard people say that they knew all about God and they knew all about Jesus. But some of them sure used Jesus Christ's name in the wrong way. They didn't know all about him, did they? Because I used Jesus Christ's name in the wrong way, and they weren't any better than I was. They were lost. Isn't that right? Okay. Some of the people that I saw, they came from a Christian background. Some of the boys and girls that I associated with, their grandmothers and their grandfathers, they said were Christians. But those kids were lost just like I was. And I don't know whether they really come out of a Christian background or not. I don't know that they even knew what a Christian background is. Isn't there people like that today? Just think of, I'm just bringing some of these things to you. Now, I wrote them down so I could give them to you like I felt the Lord would have me to give them to you. I met people who said they were members of a church. And that's what saved them. Listen, my brothers and sisters, a church doesn't save you. You know, I can belong to all the churches in Grand Junction. And all the churches in Colorado. I can belong to all the churches in the United States of America and be lost. I remember one thing that a lady told me one day when I must have been about 10 or 11 years old. She said, "Boy, you need to join the church." And she pulled out a cigarette and started smoking it. Now, I don't know whether that cigarette kept her from coming to the Lord, but it sure did make her smell like she just came back from hell. That's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Then I had people tell me, they say, I belong to a Christian organization. And you know something that they did in Pittsburgh in those days, and I guess they still do it somewhere today. I've seen people get off those streetcars and they were inebriated by drinking beer or whiskey, and they would go and sing with the Salvation Army band. And they said they belonged to a Christian organization, and they were Christians. No, they weren't. They were lost. Because you never heard them say anything about Jesus Christ. They didn't say they loved Jesus Christ. They didn't say they'd given their life to Jesus Christ. And some people said, and people are doing that today too, my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes, they are.
We got people right here in this hotel tonight that they might claim to be a Christian, but they may be up there in the bar. Or they may be using God's name in vain. Or they may be committing adultery. Because they haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. Also, I laugh about it, but I shouldn't. But there were people that said they were honest, and they were respected people, and they looked like honest and respected people. But I've seen some things they did there was no honesty there whatsoever. I saw some men in those days go by and pick up newspapers off of the newspaper pile and not pay for them. And now that's not much, but my goodness, those papers should have been paid for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
stealing. Yeah, it is.
And I've seen people that were supposed to be respected, And some of the things they did were not things to be respected. And I saw all that. Because I could see back in those days. I see a little bit now, but I could see pretty good back in those days. All right, and I heard people say this, and you did too. And I came along during the Depression years and the years right after the Depression and in the beginning of the Second World War. And people said, I'm a Christian because I'm an American. No, you're not a Christian because you're an American. Hey, I'm proud to be an American. And I've got a flag on my lapel. But I also have the flag for Jesus Christ on my lapel. Because I'm first a Christian, and I'm second an American. I can't become a Christian by being an American. And I love America as much as anybody, and I fought for America. And I'm not saying that you honor me or praise me, but I went and did what I had to do and what I thought I needed to do for my nation. And I love America. And back then, I wasn't a Christian. I loved America more than I did God. And I'm surprised he let me live through it. But he did. And I'm thankful for that. And I love my Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank him and my Father God that he let me be born in America. But you're not a Christian because you're an American. And I heard people say during those days too, you can eat and drink and do anything you want to as long as it doesn't affect somebody else. That's the biggest lie the devil ever put on the face of the earth.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
And I heard people say that.
It's wrong.
But it's wrong. And those people were lost, weren't they? And people who say that today are lost, too. Because they're saying, I can do whatever I want to. I don't have to ask God. I don't have to honor God. I don't have to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then I knew people that they stayed away from certain activities because they said, that just wasn't the thing for me to do. Let me cite an example. There was two or three men that I remember. They said that they stayed away from, being dishonest and doing anything crooked in their business and so forth. But yet, when they got off the streetcar, they went into the bar and got stinking drunk. Or they used God's name in vain. Or they mistreated people. But yet they say, there were some other activities that I don't do, so I'm a Christian. No. Then there were some other people that I saw, and they said that I dress properly. I wear the right kind of clothes.
Why does that have to do with make a Christian?
What are people saying today?
Same thing.
I mean, I think we ought to dress to honor our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Especially when we're, we just need to dress in a way that we don't try to show off everything we have.
Amen.
We ought to do that.
Amen. Yeah.
And we ought to do that in all, every place we go. But there was people that said, just because I dress like I do and I dress properly that I'm a Christian. No. And then I saw people that they said, I give generously. And some of them did. I had one man, I can remember him just as clear as if it was yesterday. He'd get on the streetcar, Carnegie Avenue and Penn Avenue, and he'd always buy a newspaper for me. Now, newspapers back then, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sold for one penny. And you know what he did? He gave me a nickel as a tip. He'd give me 6 cents. Well, I thought he was great. because that nickel was a lot of money back in those days. And he gave to me generously, and I appreciated that. But I don't know that he was a Christian. You know, he just because he did that then didn't make him a Christian, did it?
No.
All right, then I got a couple others here. I heard men and women back in those days say, "I always tell the truth." But you know something? I would see some men and women that in the morning when they'd go to work on the streetcar, they'd be by themselves, or maybe they'd be with their husband or wife, and that night they might be with some other woman or some other man.
Yeah, right.
Were they speaking truthfully?
No.
Were they saved?
No.
Well, I don't think so. Some of them were real pleasant and kind, really pleasant and kind. They really were. I had them give me tips. They spoke to me nice. They were pleasant. They were really good people. But yet, I'd hear them say some things about one another, hear them gossip about one another, or tell lies on one another. They were lost, weren't they? And then there were some of them that I saw that they really showed some love for their fellow man in a lot of ways. But yet, they contradicted that love that they showed for their fellow man. For instance, we had a man who begged on the street corners. He didn't have any legs. He rolled around on a platform that had roller skate wheels on it. And he would beg out there on Carnegie Avenue and beg for money. That's the way he got his living. And he was, as far as I know, he was a good man. He was always good to me, always talked nice to me and everything. But yet, a lot of people shunned him. And they were people that said they loved their fellow man. A lot of them would speak dirty about him. A lot of them would speak ugly about him. But he was nice. He was a good person as far as I was concerned. I don't know that he was saved. And then some people said, "I'm educated." I had one man told me one day, says, "Boy," says, "you don't need to be out here selling newspapers. You need to be going to school." I was going to school. He didn't know that. And I told him I was going to school. He didn't believe me. And he had on a real stiff collar and a nice suit. And he went to work every day on the streetcar. And he was well educated because he was worked for the Pittsburgh School Board. But I don't know that he was saved. And then, last but not least, some of them were rich people. And their riches was what they loved more than anything else. Some of them were poor people. And they loved being poor because they wanted everybody to feel sorry for them. And then some of the people were people that were average people. They were everyday people. Those are just the things I thought about. And you know, in all those instances, and I'm not trying to be condemning of those people, but I just believe, from what I know about God's Word, that most of those people might have thought they were saved, but they were lost. Because they never talked about Jesus Christ. They never said to me, "Boy, I want you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ." I never seen any of them carrying Bibles. And I seen a lot of them that were not really what they should be. That makes me think about someone that the Bible tells us about. And I know all of you know this story, but yet I just want to read a little bit of it to you. If I was to ask you to turn to John, the third chapter, you would say, well, he's going to read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I want to talk to you about Nicodemus.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk to you about Nicodemus. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says, because a lot of times we think about John 3:16, or we think about the third chapter of John, that's all we think about, is that one verse of Scripture. But listen to what the Bible says here. Listen to what it says about Nicodemus. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees, his name was Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Yep. Now, Nicodemus was a man who was respected. Nicodemus was a man who had been through all of the educational process religiously and academically that was available in that day and time. He was a brilliant man, because it says he was a ruler. Yeah. He was a brilliant man in his day and time. It says he was a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Notice what else it says about him. It says, the same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he was speaking the truth, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, Nicodemus was lost at this time. Yep. He was lost. He hadn't taken Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a highly educated man. He was a respected man. And he came to Jesus by night. Why do you think he came to Jesus by night? He didn't want the other rabbi, he didn't want the other Pharisees to see him with Jesus. So he didn't honor Jesus. He didn't love Jesus. He hadn't given his life to Jesus. But the power of the Holy Spirit of God was working in Nicodemus' life and was bringing him to where he needed to be. You know something, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we got a lot of people like that today. We got a lot of people, and I'm not picking on anybody at all, but we got a lot of people today that they are powerful as far as education is concerned. They are powerful as far as maybe some religion is concerned. Now hear me, religion.
Amen.
And they are powerful in the sense of the word that people respect them. They are business people. They are politicians. They are even preachers.
Yep, that's right.
They're powerful people. They command a so-called respect from a lot of people in our world today because of the positions that they hold. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, many of them are lost. They have never given their lives to Jesus Christ because they don't honor Christ. They never talk about Christ. They talk about themselves, or they talk about the power they have, or they talk about the influence they have. They talk about the respectability that they have. And they walk around like a bunch of people with their noses up in the air. Isn't that right? They're not people that love Christ. Who do they love?
Themselves.
They love themselves or their position. And here was Nicodemus. He was that kind of man. I mean, I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible says here. Because it says he came to Jesus by night. He was ashamed to have anybody else see him come to Jesus. So he came at night. It'd be like you and I doing the same thing. And then trying to make people believe we were Christians. You know, creeping around to somebody at night trying to find out things instead of really just trying to find out the way we need to. So anyway, it says Nicodemus came to him by night. And he said, notice what he said to Jesus. I mean, we need to see what he said to Jesus here. He said to Jesus, well, I know that you're the one that performs miracles and that thou doest the things that you do because God is with you. He did acknowledge that much, didn't he? Right at this point. He acknowledged that Jesus maybe had some kind of special preferential respect from Jehovah God. That's what he's saying here. And so then the Bible tells us that Jesus said to him, and notice what Jesus said to him. And Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice what Nicodemus said to him when he said that. Nicodemus said to him, and he's supposed to be a smart man. He's supposed to have some intelligence. He's supposed to have some wisdom. He's a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. And he says unto Jesus, he says, Nicodemus saith unto Jesus, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into, for the second time, into his mother's womb and be born? What a stupid question. I mean, when I was a kid, I knew I couldn't go back to my mother's womb. And I didn't know anything. Here's a man who was a ruler of the Jews. Here's a man who had a lot of influence over people in religion, but he was lost. At this point, he was lost. There's a lot of people like that in our world today. That's a stupid question. Anybody who's been through life knows you can't go back into your mother's womb. You don't have to ask a foolish question like that. And so the Bible here says that after he asked that question, Jesus said to him, notice what Jesus says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. That's all there is to it. You've got to be born again. And so Jesus says to him, I think Jesus wasn't making fun of him here, but Jesus just wondered, I'm sure, Nicodemus, what in the world is wrong with you? Don't you remember what Isaiah said? Don't you remember what Ezekiel said? Don't you remember what Jeremiah said? Don't you remember what all the Old Testament prophets said, that a Messiah is going to be born? And you must accept that Messiah? And Nicodemus had heard this. And here he is coming, asking Jesus these stupid questions. But he's searching. Thank God he was searching. because he was searching for something that he did not quite understand, and he knew in his own heart and in his own mind that Jesus could answer that question. And notice what else it says about Nicodemus after this. It says, Jesus said to him, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Nicodemus, you've only been born of the flesh. You need to be born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to give your life to me is really what Jesus is saying to him. And he's saying, you've been born of the flesh, and that's all right, fine. But you've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, all those people that I mentioned to you here, if they were lost, they all needed to be born again. Amen. And any one of us here that we feel like that we're all right, but we have not accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you need to be born again. I mean, I need to be born again if I haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Master. I love Him. And I know that He's going to take me home to be with Him one of these days. And I wish He'd come on. I'm ready for Him to come, aren't you? I'd like to be out of this old world we're in. I'm so thankful that our blessed Reba's already with him. I'm so glad that my blessed wife Gwen has been with him. She's been with him for 11 years. And you know something? I'm kind of envious of her. Because she's already there. I'm still waiting. But the Lord has something for me to do, and I'm thankful for that. But I love him. I love him. And I hope you do too. Notice what else Jesus says here. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He says, "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Boy, he really dug into Nicodemus, didn't he?
Yes.
Now, I think this is when Nicodemus started to really come to Jesus. Because you remember, after Jesus was put on the cross, and after he died on the cross, and after he was come down from the cross, who was it that went and got him to bury him? Nicodemus.
So he found Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, there was others that helped, but I mean, whose tomb was it?
Joseph.
Joseph. Yeah. But Nicodemus was there with him, I believe.
Yes, he was.
Because he had given his life to Jesus. And then he goes on and says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Here he is, he's still asking that question. How can this happen? I don't quite understand it. And he's supposed to be a smart man. I think right at this point, his smartness just was worldly smartness. It wasn't spiritual smartness. He was beginning to have that spiritual in-depth wisdom that he needed. But he hadn't quite arrived yet. Can you remember when you were like that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. My wife and I had been married about 5 years. Our son had been born, and our daughter had been born. And we were living a good life. We were good people. We were respected in our community. But we hadn't given our lives to Jesus. And one night we went to a revival meeting because some fine Christian people invited us. And we got into the church, sat down, and the preacher preached. And you know, he was preaching directly to us. He was looking at us. He was preaching to us. Every word he said was touching our hearts and our minds. I couldn't hardly sit there to wait for the invitation. And my wife and I both went up and gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest decision we ever made. I mean, I'm thankful we loved one another and married one another. That was good decisions. And I'm thankful that we had children and they were born well and good and everything fine. But that was the greatest decision that we made together when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ on that night in that revival meeting. And I can look back on that day. It was in April of 1952. And I've been a Christian ever since. I've loved the Lord Jesus Christ ever since. He's been my Savior, and He still is my Savior. And He is my wife's Savior, and she's at home with Him. And like I say, I kind of envy her. I'd like to be there too. One of these days, I'm going to be there. But anyway, Nicodemus here asked that question again. How can these things be? That's a bona fide question. How can these things be? And then Jesus answered him and said, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Boy, he really dug into Nicodemus. You're a master of Israel and you don't know these things? What have you learned from Isaiah? What did you learn from Ezekiel? What did you learn from Jeremiah? What did you learn from all those prophets? What did you learn when you went to the rabbinical school? That's what Jesus is really saying to him here. And notice what else he says too. He says, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen and receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now he's really digging into Nicodemus, isn't he? And then he goes on and says to him here, he says, and no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's talking about himself. He's getting the attention of Nicodemus. Nicodemus believed that, you know, nobody went to heaven. You know, he believed that, unless they were specially favored by God. And nobody came down from heaven except the Spirit of God. So Jesus is just digging into him. And then he goes on and says, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, then so should the Spirit of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the only way. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're lost. I don't care who you are. I don't care who I meet with. If they tell me that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they are lost. And sometimes some of them that tell me they believe in Jesus, I'm not quite sure they are. They do. I mean, I can't say yes or no, but sometimes I wonder, don't you? But there it is right there, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The only way to salvation. There's no other way. You can join the church. You can have somebody else pray for you. And you can be good. And you can be a respected person. But if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, and if He is not your Savior, then you are lost.
Amen.
And And what must I do to be lost? Just reject Jesus Christ. Don't honor him at all. And live for the devil. And you are lost. I don't care who it is. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Nicodemus, I'm not going to read anymore, but Nicodemus gave his life to Jesus. I believe it. Amen. He did that night when he was there with Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
I believe that with all my heart.
I believe it.
And then let me just cite another incident. What happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? Paul was a Pharisee.
Yes.
Paul was another man just like Nicodemus. And he thought he was doing right. And he went on the road to Damascus there to get those Christians that he wanted to put in jail, or he wanted to put them to death, or he wanted to stand by and see somebody stoned to death like he saw Stephen stoned to death. And he got on the road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him. And Paul accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he went on and was the greatest apostle and the greatest Christian witness that I know anything about. And you and I would not be here today as Christians if it hadn't been for Paul. So you see, You can be important. You can be respected. You can be good. You can be decent. And you can do all those things. You can join every church that you want to join. You can pray to, you can have any priest in the world pray for you. But unless you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are not saved. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to. And I'm so thankful that he is my Savior.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 May we pray. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, I thank you for what you did for me. Because, Almighty Father, I'm the one who deserved that crown on my head. I'm the one who deserved being spit in the face. I'm the one who deserved being ridiculed and mocked. Not your son, Jesus Christ. But you allowed him to go through all that just for me and for all others who will believe in him and give their lives to him. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. And thank you that wasn't the end of it. Your son, Jesus Christ, came down from the cross, went into the tomb, and came forth from the tomb.
Amen.
And was resurrected. My Savior and the Savior of all who believe in him is alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Yes, he is.
And he's alive in order that all people can believe in him if they will and have eternal and everlasting life and forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Almighty God. What a precious gift.
Amen.
Thank you, Jack. Wonderful message. Praise God that we know whom we have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day.
That's right.
Jesus. What do we do now? To let them, do we let them know that we're ready, or how does this work?